when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you people wherever you are in the world, no matter where you are listening. You are listening to Blood River Radio, people. That's right, Blood River Radio. And it is August the 15th on my calendar up here in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty 2020. We have a great show for you tonight. It's going to be really remarkable. It's going to be special. In fact, God, I tear up sometimes, people. You know me. If you know me very long, we're really emotional. But this is our second in a series of our honoring what happened in Charlottesville, all the prisoners in Charlottesville. We still have some kids up there in jail that are doing, 6, 8, 10 years. We've honored them, honoring everybody in Charlottesville. People, you know the drill here. I'm going to talk about the guests. We're going to dispense a lot of the announcements that we usually make because we're pressed for time tonight. We have a very special guest coming on first tonight, a fellow I've been knowing for many moons. He was really young when I met him, and I was even younger. But I'm going to introduce him first. Hey, I'll just give you a hint who he is. Peter Scoop Stanton calls him Box Turtle. But anyway, I call him Sunboy. How are you doing tonight, James?
Happy. I'm doing great. It's always great to be talking with you.
Man, it is so great, you know. James, I don't know, I tried to get in touch with you. You're a very busy guy, you know. We always start this show here with a prayer, and so I don't want to put you on the spot. God forbid, I've never put you on the spot since you've known me.
Never. I mean, it's just been nothing but what a wonderful relationship.
You know what? We never had any trouble. All the blacks, the BLM, and the Jews, they just loved us to death. You know, I don't know. We were just blessed. But we certainly were
all the way from start to finish. Never a hiccup. Never a moment of discontent. That's us, Pappy.
Hey, amen. And you know, we're just rolling in money, folks. I'm telling you. Well, I'll tell you what, I guess if you want to say the prayer, son.
I got one short and sweet, and it comes from the heart. Dear Lord. Well,
fire away then.
Please save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's about as good as you can get. I would like to read this one verse right here real quick, like I'm notorious for reading verses. It's one of my favorite. It comes out of the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 through 4. And it says laws concerning war. And we are at a war right now, people, a spiritual. I'm afraid it's going to get hot before too much longer. A lot of people are saying that. But anyway, here we go. It says, and this is out of the King James Bible. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be you terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the point I was trying to make to that, I know James knows, is to the people is, you can't always go by the strength or the appearance of the strength of your other enemies. You can ask our friend General Nick Glasnovic, who we've alluded to him before, because he fought in the Battle of Croatian Independence from 1990, 1994, 1985, and he won against greatly superior odds. But I'd just like to throw that out there before we start the show. You know, I had a quick side note. I had a funeral about a week ago. I still hadn't got over that. Brenda tells me I never will. I thought, you know, in some ways I'm glad that it's hurt so bad because James knows what I'm talking about. I thought I had lost a lot of my humanity. I thought I had become so calloused and cynical and bitter and hard that I was getting beyond something. If a Baptist would say that maybe I was getting beyond redemption when God just gives up on somebody. Well, I found out that I have not lost my humanity because I tell you what, it hurts like hell. But anyway, with all that aside, I can't tell you how much it means to me to have James on tonight. We go back a long ways. I tell you what, we've been in many a street battle. Too many to name. Close calls. Sometimes we didn't get away. But anyway, James, as you well know, we're going to talk about Charlottesville tonight. And you know, James, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to say you and Sam sent me to Charlottesville back in that day. We were there at 8-12-17. I met Rich and Matt, Simon Roach, and Gene Andrews up in Cookeville, Tennessee. They picked me up there. We went to Charlottesville. And, boy, I tell you what, I remember telling James I'm going to need this, I'm going to need that. And James said, hell, you look asking for a tank, man. And when we got back, James said he wished the hell he sent me up there with a tank. I didn't know it was going to be that bad myself. But James, how does it feel? What's it like to have lived through that? I mean, I was calling into you from Charlottesville that night. And I mean, how do you – I know it might be sound like a teacher or something. What's it like to know you, political cesspool, had probably the only host on the ground, or co-host, boots on the ground, up close and personal, in the middle of the fray with the enemy, and we were reporting directly from the streets, me and other guys affiliated with the political cesspool. What's it like to know you, political cesspool, everybody connected with the cesspool, we were a part of history? That was a watershed event, James. What's your feelings about this, son?
Well, I mean, obviously my perspective on it can't compare to yours. You were actually there. I spent that night in the comfort in the safety of the studio. But I will say this. You know, we didn't have any role in the planning, and we weren't asked to participate in any of the leadership or anything like that. But what we did want to do, we knew it was shaping up to be a historic moment. Now, I don't think any of us could have anticipated how it would be, to the extent that it would be. We knew it would be misconstrued. We couldn't have anticipated the extent to which the lies were told and the amount of violence that was unleashed there by this cabal that involved the governor of Virginia and the law enforcement of Charlottesville and the media and so many other moving parts. I mean, what they had in store laying in wait for those people who were going there for a good cause, to stand up for a statue in honor of the greatest American who's ever lived, in my opinion, General Robert E. Lee. But so while I can't possibly know what it was like to have experienced it the way you did on the ground, you're right. We did want to send a member of our team there so that we could have an eyewitness accounting on our broadcast that would tell our audience and whoever would come to learn of that show after the fact the truth. We wanted somebody there. We didn't want to rely on hearsay or secondhand information. And God knows we didn't want to have to rely on the narrative, which was already written in advance. We wanted to have somebody there. We thought that was important. And you volunteered to go. And to me, though, I'll tell you this. You know, we've been on the air 16 years. And if you just did 16 years with one show a week, you're talking about nearly 1,000 shows. But, of course, for the first several years, as you'll remember, Eddie, we were on five nights a week. You're talking about between 1,000 and 2,000 shows, each show 2 to 3 hours apiece, thousands, literally thousands of hours of radio. But that show we did with you there, the way that happened, we went to you in alternating segments. Every other segment, we called you, and you gave us somebody, just some grunt from the front line. And then we, every other segment, we'd go to another person who was there. I can't remember everybody that called in that night, but Simon Roche, Henrik Palmgren. I mean, just a lot of people who are quote-unquote names in the movement to get their perspective. So we were bouncing around, and each person was at a different place during that event. So we were able to stagger these segments. We were going to you every other segment because you were our guy there on the ground. Then we were going to other people who were also there, all eyewitness accounting, all real and raw, all taking place just literally within minutes of the aftermath. Now, we expected when we broadcasted the show that night to be able to report the who, what, where, when, and why, just the facts, on what we anticipated to be a relatively uneventful gathering. I mean, it was eventful in the fact that it was a lot of people, and it was unprecedented in recent history because of the size and the number of people who were there. Of course, nobody expected the violence and the attacks that our side had to endure. But I'll tell you this, all those shows, all those hours, all those years, that was the most perfect radio broadcast I've ever been a part of. We've had a lot of great shows. I take pride in every show we do being the best we can possibly do. That was perfect radio, and I've heard that from so many people. If they say one show we've ever done, it was that one. That was the best show we ever did, and you were a huge part of that.
Thank you so much, James. You know what? We all played a critical part. And that night, I'll still remember James and Keith in the studio, and I think it was brilliant. Well, we're going to the music. We're coming right back, James. We're going to write to you. I'm going to call you son. I know Jacob doesn't like me calling you son, but the hell with y'all. I'm going to call y'all son anyway. People, hang on. We'll be right back to this very emotional tribute to Charlottesville. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, people, right? Well, welcome right back to Blood River Radio. Like we said earlier, it is August. I'm really excited tonight. August the 15th, and I got these crappy glasses on. The year of our Lord 2020. We've got James Edwards on the line, who is a very, very, very dear friend of mine, like a spiritual son, a spiritual brother in battle. I know when I first met James, it was just clicked. I know you people know what I'm talking about. When you see people that you meet for the first time, you know there's something special in that relationship. That's the way it was with me and James. He was just a kid when we met. Matter of fact, we called him Sun Boy back in the day in the old studio that we used to call it out in the Beanfield out in Millington, Tennessee, out in the middle of the nowhere on the verge of the Wolf River bottoms. Man, with snakes and wasps and everything in there. But we've been through everything. And I'll tell you what, I agree with James. I've never been through anything any with more intensity, more emotion, more, not a whole lot more danger than what went on there in Charlottesville. And one brilliant thing that Political Cesspool did that night, James and Keith went all over. They probably covered a geographical area, I don't know, 30 miles, because, see, people from all over the country went to Charlottesville. Now, we were staying in a place way out in the middle of nowhere in the woods. It was beautiful. And we had people scattered, you know, all over the city of Charlottesville. So James would go from me to them to Duke to what have you, Spencer. And he got a great, great, it was almost like a painting. You know, he painted in the entire geographical area with everybody's and his mama's input on what happened. And go ahead, James. Go right back where you're doing. I just had to kick that in. Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell people you have a new daughter coming on board before too long. When is she going to be born, James?
That's baby Edwards will be here in the middle of October at the latest. Now, my wife normally goes a week or two early with the kids we've had. This will be number three. We've gone through this twice before. And so anytime between late September and middle of October, we'll be adding to the brood over here. But before we get back to Charlottesville, Eddie, of course, you know, 3 years nearly to the day that all happened. But, you and I first met, I was 21 years old and running for a seat in the Tennessee State Legislature, and I had gone out flyering, knocking on doors and leaving brochures for my campaign on the doors of anyone, you know, who didn't answer. And I actually even had a little campaign headquarters and a little strip mall. I mean, we ran to win. It was a serious effort. You know, at 21 years of age, and I had come back after a night of knocking on doors, and I found a note on the door, and it was from Eddie, you know, saying, I'd love to be a part of, you know, trying to help you win. And he left his name and number, and that's when we got in touch, and that was 2002, so that was 2 years before the show started. So I've known Eddie almost 20 years, and from Sun Boy, you know, I turned 40 years old last month, in late June. So we've known each other for, you know, half of my life, two decades, and it's like Eddie said, I mean, we were having a heart-to-heart a few days ago. You know, over 20 years, you're talking about two aggressive guys, two, you know, emotional guys, two passionate guys. I mean, we fought like lions, but I told Eddie, I mean, we love each other, but even brothers fight, you know, from time to time, or get into disagreements, heated. That's yes. How it is, you know, when you're a leader, when you're out there, when you're pressing, I mean, you're going to have those moments. I mean, you know, the Confederates did it. I mean, any man will get after it with a brother. But I told Eddie, and I told him this before, and I said, you know, if it ever comes down to it, I said, I know he'd be there, and I know he'd be there, and I know he'd be the first one there, and that's the truth. And that's what a brotherhood's all about. You can have, you know, you talk, there's too many people now, if there's any element of disagreement, they can't work together. If feelings ever get hurt, they can't touch things back up, and that's just not the way of men. That's not the way of kings. And so I appreciate somebody that has that emotion and that realness, that raw. But even with sometimes it's certainly, you know, not pleasant. But anyway, it really was a mosaic that night, and it was just such a privilege to be able to have you there. It was just the best radio either of us had ever done, I guess. And certainly yep. The show, the one show, you said, James, you know, all these shows, give me the one you want me to listen to show us, you know, what you're made out of as a program. I think that's the one. And we've done to all these different people, all these, again, just so many lies, lie after lie after lie over the course of the last 3 years. But we had not one, not two, every single person we had on that show that night giving their personal testimony. What does a testimony mean? What they saw, what they heard, what they experienced. Not what they heard from somebody else. Eyewitness accounting, every single one, real to real, 3 hours, start to finish. And, of course, the lies that they're telling about the people who were there in Charlottesville, they're telling today. Still today. I'm reading a headline right now. Stone Mountain in Georgia closes ahead of white
supremacist rally. And here's another one. White supremacists and counter-protesters clash in Kalamazoo. Now, I don't know what groups they're talking about. I don't know anything about either of these two events. But it's a daily reminder that you are a white supremacist if you don't hate yourself and you refuse to spit on the graves of your ancestors. You're a white nationalist if you dare to go and honor. If you disagree that the monument, this beautiful piece of art dedicated to Robert E. Lee, shouldn't have been removed from Charlottesville. Every time whites come together to advance their group interests, they are bad guys. They're white supremacists. They're this. But I know the people who were in Charlottesville. I don't know everybody who was there. I don't know every one of the couple of thousand, 5,000, however many was, people that were there. I know a lot of the people that were there. The people that I do know that were there, the people that I know personally, Christians, hardworking family men, and I'm happy to stand with them.
And, you know, James, we had in that little compound, I'm so emotional tonight, and I second everything you said about me, about you, son. I would come to your aid in a heartbeat. You know that. I know there was never a doubt. Never.
Never.
And, you know, we had the little compound where I was staying. We had Simon Roach. We had Gene Andrews and, of course, our good friend Rich Hamblin. But we had about 7 or 8 kids there, ranging in age. I think one of them was only 16 years old. I mean, he looked like he was 12. And the oldest one was 30. Each one of those had been in the park, and at least half of them or more had bruises and cuts on them from the police beating them, from being mazed. They had just had the untold amounts of abuse. If God knows it was bad enough, they had Antifa and BLM there and every other dreg of society, of communist Satanists you could imagine. But the damn police were against us and beating the hell out of them. One fellow, you may remember, he said he fell down. He was trying to get him and his buddy out of the park, but he wasn't moving fast enough. He fell down, and the cops beat him with the damn baton. But that's exactly the way it was there. I mean, and like you say, James, when I came back, I lost dear, I thought were dear friends, but God forbid they found out I went to Charlottesville, and one of them listened to the political cesspool the first Saturday we came back from there. And she said she actually broke out in tears and cried because she heard what we said. And I said, my God, what did we say? It's like you say, James, if you're not willing to go out and dig up the graves of your ancestors and put cow feces on them, then you're a hate monger. I tell you what, I don't understand these people, James. You're exactly right, son. But I tell you what, we had some guys on the other night, Pat Dr. Hill, I know you know him, and Ike Baker. They said they don't think there'll ever be another Charlottesville. But there was a Chicago before Charlottesville, so I just don't know. But I couldn't foresee us ever having boots on the ground in another situation like that, because we'll probably get wiped out if it happens that way. Because
it's not going to happen. Look, it will happen again. One day, we were talking about this couple of weeks ago. I mean, history doesn't run in a straight line. Civilizations rise and civilizations fall, and nations rise and nations fall, and it's been, you know, a stroke of bad luck in a way that we were born when we were born, and we had to endure the deer of white Christian culture in America. But at some point, our people are going to turn this around, and it may happen. You know, we may have to go through a period like the Spanish did when they were under Muslim occupation for hundreds of years. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what the catalyst will be. But I still believe in my heart that God's people are going to turn this around. And it may happen long after we're gone. We just don't know when. But I don't think we're going to exit the state of history. I don't think we're going to be wiped out. I don't think we're going to be run into extinction. So, yes, I mean, you're not going to see another Charlottesville in the present climate. But one day what happened in Charlottesville will be, you know, just like another weekend. You know, we're having rallies across the country, you know, like we've seen the terrorists have, you know, across the country, except we wouldn't be, you know, defacing everything and burning down cities and taking over police stations. We'd be doing it the way we've always done things as gentlemen and as civilized folks. But no, I think one day, yeah, you're not going to see another Charlottesville presently, but one day things will turn and we won't need a Charlottesville anymore.
Well, I tell you what, son, our time's up, unfortunately. But you know what? Our orders were to stay and fight. The results belong to God. And I know that's what me and James have always said. Thank you so much, James, for coming on tonight. It meant so much to me. We've been through so much together. God bless you. I'll be calling you very soon.
You got it.
People will be
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The United States Postal Service is now warning states coast to coast that it cannot guarantee all ballots cast for mail by the November election will arrive in time to be counted, even if mailed by state deadlines, raising the possibility that millions of voters could be disenfranchised. Voters and lawmakers in several states are complaining that some curbside mail collection boxes are also being removed. The post office is bracing for an unprecedented number of mail-in ballots. Warning letters were sent out to 46 states, raising the possibility that many Americans eligible for mail-in ballots will not have them counted. But that's not the intent, according to the Postmaster General, Louis Deloy. Deloy said the post office is merely asking elected officials and voters to realistically consider how the mail works and be mindful of delivery standards in order to provide voters ample time to cast their ballots properly through the mail. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a health care program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo sealed a defense cooperation deal with Polish officials that will pave the way to redeploying American troops from Germany to Poland. Pompeo in Warsaw, at the end of a four-nation tour of Central and Eastern Europe, signed the deal with the Polish defense minister that will set out the legal framework for the additional troops. Poland's president said this will serve to increase the security of other countries in our part of Europe. The deal also furthers other aspects of U.S.-Polish cooperation, including investment and trade ties. Georgia's Stone Mountain Park, known for its giant rock carvings of Confederate leaders, closed to the public over concerns about planned white nationalist rallies and counter-protests. The city of Stone Mountain announced the closure in a tweet. Opposing groups, meanwhile, faced off in the city's downtown this morning, and city officials said out of an abundance of caution, it's warning residents and visitors to avoid the area and said buses in the city will be suspended. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. In case you just tuned in, just in case you don't know, it is August the 15th in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. We had my dear little spirit brother, spirit son, whatever you want to call him. Like he said, I've been knowing him since he was 21 years old. He's now 40. God, we've been through a lot together, and it's really, really emotional. I buried another brother. I guess the only friend I've had that's I've known longer than James would be my spirit brother, Stanley Enoch McGahee. We buried him last week over in Alabama. It was so, so emotional. I tell you what, if you want to get your priorities in order, if you want to find out what's really important, I hope you don't have to, but you go to a funeral and stand there and watch your dear brother being lowered into the ground, be invited to say some of the eulogy, and I'll tell you what the minister said. The minister that came on after me said that he hated to follow me, and I'm not a preacher. God knows that. Everybody knows that. But it had a severe effect on me. I know I'm trying to be a better Christian, a better brother, It's making me strive a better defender for our white race. James mentioned our people. Well, I've become more and more convinced that there is something to that Christian identity. I mean, I never have been into Christian identity, but if, and I'm going to shut up because I want to bring somebody on in just another minute. If you look around in over the entire world and see who's being under the gun, being attacked more every day in foreign nations, in our home, in our own homelands, in Europe, in Europa, in Christendom, in the United States, it's the white people. It's we white people. We are being attacked. So Satan knows who we are. So something's going on. Anyway, we've got we just let James Edwards go. He and Sam dispatched me to Charlottesville back in 2017 when we covered that great hellacious battle up there that will go down in history. It was a watershed moment in the world, in the United States, all over the world. We have two people come on tonight. One was an eyewitness there. Well, both of them were eyewitness. We have one lady. We're going to bring her on now. Her son did nothing but defend himself and save another lady. He did. We have witnesses saying, we have videotape where he did nothing wrong, but yet he is in prison serving an ungodly sentence for doing nothing. His mother is Miss Tamara Goodwin. We're talking about Jacob Goodwin, the prisoner, and we're going to bring Miss Tamara on tonight. How are you doing, Miss Tamara?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty dadgum good under the circumstances. It's a great honor to have you on tonight. You know, I've been trying to keep in touch with you. You've been trying to keep in touch with me. If you will, I guess where we should start is give us a quick summary of what you thought, what went on, what it was like in Charlottesville when you was there. I know you took your sons up there. Just start with this, Tamara. Tell them.
There's no way to tell it really quick, but I'm going to have to. Is my son believes in his heritage. He believes in his history, and they were going to tear down the statues in Charlottesville, and that's why he went. He didn't go to make war or fight with anybody. He just wanted to go and stand up for his rights, had a permit to be there. Long story short, it was like a war zone. My son was supposedly just beat up a black guy in the garage at Charlottesville. Well, if you've watched the videos and you've watched from the very start to the end, I'm sorry, guys, he was harassed. And the black guy run at him at three times, and yes, he did kick him. That's all he did, and he got 10 years. He was being attacked too.
So he was defending himself. He just tried to kick the guy. Was that D'Angelo, DeAndre Harris, or do you know that?
Yes,
he kicked off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Well, that's okay. I know Tamara's been sick under really bad health. She's had some incredibly bad luck. It makes me think that Satan, what we just talked about, our people being under attack. You know, she's been under bad health, but I would have no other way to bring her on because she's one of the people we know that has her son is still in prison. Can you imagine serving, I think he was 20, 21 when he was in prison. And I tell you, one guy I could despise is that governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, and he consented to my best of my ability. I don't know how the law works. We need a lawyer on, but he allowed, he allowed kids from Arkansas to be extradited to Virginia, knowing they were going to go into a stacked court, a kangaroo court, a court full of people where he could not possibly get a fair trial. And the man, like Tamara said, like I said, we have video evidence after video evidence after video evidence. We have eyewitnesses that were there, and they can prove that with the state, the case they brought against those guys, Jacob being one of them, was a total lie. Just like James said in the first segment, is lie after lie after lie, even though they're proved it's even though it's been proven that what they're telling is lies, they keep on lying. Because if you keep repeat the lies, no cliche, if you repeat a lie, big enough lie, and you repeat it long enough, in this society, in this damn world, it becomes truth because too many of our damn people are hooked up with Satan, not with Jesus Christ. Back to you, Tamara, if you got your cough under control, dear.
Yeah, trying to. You know, it's sad because what you think, well, you know, sad for that boy, and you, you go on about your life. But the thing is that it could be you. It could be your son. It could be your daughter. It could be anybody. It don't have to be just because you think, well, I'm white, I'm old, they're not going to bother me. That ain't how it works. If they have a need, a greed or something, that's what's going to happen to you. That's because my son has never been in any trouble whatsoever. He's never gave me or his daddy any grief at all. Matter of fact, my oldest son was on video chat today, and, you know, they haven't spoke. They talk on the phone, but they haven't seen each other in almost 4 years. So they got to actually see each other on screen today. And my son, I know Jacob was talking this morning, and he was just tickled, excited about seeing his brother on a TV screen. So, you know, when I talk to Jacob every day, I think this could be the last time I get to talk to him, because when this war breaks out, I know he's going to be in jail. And it breaks my heart, you know, that he's not going to be here to help us. But I, with that still being, I don't quit fighting. I keep advocating for my son, you know. And, you know, Nellie and I, that's the lady that he saved, and she's a wonderful person, wonderful person. And she's married to a wonderful man. And I get to thank God that, you know, out of the negative is a lot of positive, too, because him and her would not have met. And Jacob would not have been there. He wouldn't have saved her life. She might have died that day, a single mother of five. Three grown men beating up a woman, you know. And then she saw it on video, and she taped it for me, and I was able to see my son actually save a woman's life. How many parents can say that, you know? But with that, I just watched that Impact of Hate on ID Channel this week. I don't know if anybody watched that. Jacob did make the tiki torch lighting. He was there, and he did make that, and of course he made the garage. But you know, like I said, it is very hard being a parent with my son in jail. Very hard. It takes a lot of money just to talk to him, you know. And we have one or two maybe four people that really, really, really help us out, you know, financially, and that's how my son gets his commissary, and that's how he gets a lot, is through you guys. Y'all write him letters and just support him. You know, he's strong. He knows that he's going to have to probably do his time, because nobody's going to come up and say, here, let me help you, this is wrong, you know. But we do have a guy who is helping us. And with that being said, you know, it's you guys who keep us going. It's you, with the help of you guys writing him letters and him not getting down. That's how we're surviving.
Tamara, speaking of writing letters, to take your time, could you tell the audience how they can communicate with Jacob, and maybe if they can send him little gifts, you know, stationery, books, candy, whatever, anything that the audience can do to help him, and give him the mailing address?
I don't have it right in front of me, but you can go to Year of Jubilee. That's JUBILIE. And you can go .com/Jacob, and it comes right up. Everything you want to hear him speak, you want to see what's happening, his address, and of course that stupid documentary they did of us, you know, made us look like country hicks, like we ain't got no sense, you know. that, and matter of fact, we may be doing another documentary, hopefully at the first of the year, a better one. But anyway, y'all can go there. You can find his new address. You can hear him recently speak. He called in there. And hopefully he's going to be on your show pretty soon, hopefully.
Tamara, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. We'll come right back, and we'll have the final segment with you. People, hold on to your hats. We're going to come back to Miss Tamara Goodwin in just a minute. Her son, Jacob Goodwin, is in the prison in Charlottesville, being prisoner of the gulag under Zog. Be right back.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important, It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly? Nope. Never had a lesson.
Thank you, Uncle Sam. Well, Sam is doing a wonderful job. I just got through complimenting him. He always does a great job, come hell or high water. We've always been able to get through. Even when we were up in the middle of no friggin' where last year, in the middle of the Ozarks of northwestern Arkansas, I mean, I don't know how far away we were from one of these cell phone towers, because I'm not just low-tech, I'm no-tech. I mean, but Sam always pulls us through some kind of way. I mean, the guy is, I used to call him Johnny Radio, but now he's Johnny Radio Wizard, because he does stuff that I don't know how the hell he does it. Nobody does. Matter of fact, this is an aside, the last commercial you heard was my dear, dear brother, Gene Andrews. He's one of the guys I rode to Charlottesville with back in 2017. Wow. Sam did that friggin' commercial. We didn't even know he's going to do it. Gene read his commercial. He said, "I'm going to read this commercial over the air if it's okay." He said, "Because I'm going to record this, send it to Sam." So he read the commercial. I'll be dang if Sam didn't record that thing. And just even James said, "It's probably the best commercial on TPC or BBR. I mean, but it wasn't anything we did. It was what Sam did and what Gene did. Anyway, people, I got to give you a quick note. I just got a thing from AT&T. I have no clue what it is, but I think I'm almost sure. If you try to donate to Blood River Radio, do not try to donate online anymore, because we have been deplatformed, and we're trying to get a guy who can figure out how to take that platform button. Now, in fact, we've got a guy, a friend, who's getting a pro. Who, you know, me and Jacob's smarter than I am at it, but we're limited because we're all amateurs. But we're going to get a guy to get that off. But the bottom line is, if you want to donate to Blood River, send it. You can find the address on our website. It's I know you probably won't remember it, but it's Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. Check, money, order, and cash. That's the only way, because we have been that deplatformed, because, you know, we have a wonderful constitution. We have a wonderful government where just freedom abounds and liberty, justice for all, unless you're white Christian. Anyway, that aside, now, Tamara, if you will, now, if they go to theyearofjubilee.com, I know that's Rudy Davis's website, a great, great prison minister. He used to come on our show all the time, but he's just too loaded down. Now, can't they just go into... Is that his website? Can they go into his website and just send him an email, say, hey, Rudy, I want to get in touch with Jacob. I want to get in touch with Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Daniel will be out pretty soon. Daniel ain't maybe got but a few more months, and he'll be out. And I think he's...
If they're not lying. Do you really believe them? Tamara, do you really believe them? Do you think they'll pull something at the end?
Eddie, I have to. I have to have hope that somebody somewhere is going to stick to their gun, and they're going to man up, you know. And it's funny that, that was the Robert E. Lee statue that they were tearing down and Stonewall Jackson. That's funny that that commercial was about that, had that in there. But that was the two statues that was in question. And I don't know if anybody's seen those statues. When I walked up, me and my husband took pictures in front of it, I was amazed how great it really was. How great that my son is fighting for something. Somebody told me, well, it's just concrete. It may be just concrete to you, but to me, in my heart, it means something that some man, I don't know if y'all have ever read about Robert E. Lee, but, you know, he it wasn't easy in his life either. So, but that thing in Charlottesville was like war. I mean, I didn't go down to the war zone. I was on the outside waiting, and there's no way to tell you what it was like just outside the outskirts waiting and what how the fear in people's hearts and stuff, you know. It was just, I can't imagine. I can't tell y'all the smells and the sights and things that sets it off sometimes, you know, or somebody, you know. But I cannot be a mother more proud, Eddie, than I am, you know, that my son, you know, he says, Mama, this is bigger than me. I have to do this because it's bigger than me. And I'm proud of him.
I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of you. And I just want to say something on your behalf. I've known Tamara. We got this radio station. We went online first. The very first show was October the 6th of 2018. We're coming up on 2 years. And I've known Miss Tamara since then. And we tried to put, when we first started going, I thought we were going to be able to do all this stuff. Man, Blood River Radio was going to go to the moon if we had to. We tried to get a fundraiser in a state park in Tennessee. We considered going to Forest City. That's still not out of the question, but we had to fight everything. I mean, you will not believe if you want to know if Satan is real, just try to get a radio show, a white rights radio show, a Christian radio show, and try to be proactive. Try to get in the streets. Try to go do something. You know, physical, what's the word I'm looking for? Practical. Go do street marches. Like, what's Charlottesville was a street march. That's what happens to you. That's exactly what happens to you. But I know the point I was going to make, Miss Tamara's health, she was like, I thought she was about 25 years old when I first talked to her on the phone because she sounds so robust and healthy. But that lady has been drugged through hell. I know the stress level has, I know for a fact, you wouldn't have to tell me, I wouldn't even have to talk to your doctor. The stress level has just about killed you, young lady, and I worry about you.
My husband.
I really do.
It has to.
That's right. In your head.
But, you know, back on the positive side, I always try to look at the positive side. It's opened my eyes. My brother-in-law is one who was adamant. And how many times my husband and him have had words just because he says, well, Jacob should have just stayed at home. Jacob should have done this. Well, that really just lights my fire because he had more cojones to get out and go do what you don't have them to do. You know, grown men standing there sitting on their couches while young men go fight your wars. Well, okay. But that he has opened his eyes and now he's just frantic. They're coming to get me. It won't be long. You know, we're going to be at war. I better start saving me food and stuff. And we've been telling him for years. Well, dude, you know, it's going to be like Noah's Ark at my house. If you haven't had the sense to prep and do what you need to do and this ain't opened your eyes, well, you can knock on the door. It's going to be like Noah's Ark. When I shut and lock that door, I'm sorry. You can cry, beat. I'm hungry. I'm dying, whatever. I'm not opening that door because I had the sense and the wake up to see what's happening around me. I don't know if you guys heard in the news about the 5-year-old white boy that was shot. And my husband read about it last night, and he was furious. And I talked to Jacob about it this morning. He said, Mama, I was so mad. He said, and then, you know, being in here, not be able to do anything about it. You know, I hope people are opening their eyes. And people have told
me. Tamara, tell us about that. Tell us all you know about that, starting from the very beginning, about the white boy being a little 5-year-old white boy. I saw just a glimpse of it, of a grown black man.
My husband was so fired up last night, I knew better than asking questions about it because he won't be able to, he couldn't sleep last night and he had to go to work today. But, you know, I don't know exactly, but you know, you can't believe everything news says, of course. I'm going to have to research this on my own. But all I can understand is the dad was watching the little boy or heard a gunshot or something, saw him drop. This is what I don't know for sure. But the black man next door come and put a gun to the little boy's head and shot him in the head because he was riding up in his yard on his bicycle. He's only five. I mean, really? I mean, why don't you just tell him, go home, you know, or go or talk on the... But what I can understand is that, as Jacob says, that Mama, he had heard that they were kind of like friends. The black guy was over at their house the day before. So I don't know if it was drugging, you know, something with drugs. I don't know, really. But I will be looking into it. I told my husband, I said, we need to find out who these parents are and see if we can reach out to them. Because if it would be the other way around, they would be burning, the Black Lives Matter would be burning that town down.
And you know, Miss Tamara, that happens. Stuff like that happens just about every day in the United States of America. If you can go through and pull up the FBI crime statistics, other governmental crime statistics, the black on white crime is just off the chart. Matter of fact, I've got something right here. I almost forgot on my wall, taped to my wall. This comes from, let's see, the source is the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey of 28. This is back in 2018. And it says black on white crime. This was in 2018. 547,948 blacks on white crimes. Okay, there was black on Hispanics, 112,365. Okay, so I'm gonna repeat this. There was 547,948 black on white crimes that year in 2018. Okay, there was white, 59,778 white-owned black crimes. Get that? So that's about 4,000% difference, black-on-white crime, black-on-white crimes. It's been going on, I'm 73 years old. It's been going on like that ever since I can remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lived in, I'm not going to rave on because this is your time, but we can't forget that. We can report that. But that's just, I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. Remember the kid that the grown adult threw a kid over the, he was in a 2-3-story mall in Minnesota. Up there where they were rioting and raising hell in Minneapolis. The blacks raising hell. A grown black man took a child, 5-8-year-old little boy, and threw him over the rails, man. Like 30-foot drop. But go ahead, Tamara.
Do you know what? I heard a lady tell me, she says, well, she was black. She goes, we just want to be equal. Okay, you hate me. You hate me. You hate my black heritage. I mean, well, my white heritage. You want to tear my statues down, but you want to have hair like me, okay? You want to wear a wig and have hair like me, and you want to live in my white neighborhood, and you want to go to the stores I go to. You want to be me so bad. Why can't they come up? They're not smart enough to come up with their own, you know, statues, their own heritage, their own, you know, Black Lives Matter, spending all this money, even for commercials on TV, that, and they can't come up with their own stuff. Think about it. What has the black man really contributed to us? Not a damn.
Tamara, they are celebrating their heritage. That is their heritage. Rioting, looting, raping. I've been around blacks in the South all my life. That is their heritage. If you go back to Africa, and I'm telling these people the truth, you can call me a hate monger. I hope you do, because I take showers in hate. I take baths in hate. I grow on hate. I get stronger on hate. I love their hatred. I welcome their hatred, to quote FDR. But if you go to Africa, they had the richest continent in the world for thousands of years. Every known mineral, every known power source, every type of animal. They never built a dwelling over one story high. They built sticks and mud huts. That's all they ever built. They never created electricity. They never created medicine. They never even created a friggin' alphabet. I mean, for God's sakes, they never created anything. They were eating each other. They're working their wives to death, selling their kids into slavery, and they're nothing but animals, and that's what 90% of them are now. But go back to you, Tamara.
You know, they have what they call the HIPAA report here. You go, the kids get to go from school, and I've been with the kids several times. They show how they made mud huts and how they lived, and you can go and see that stuff. But what the HIPAA project does is try to give them a cow, not to eat, but to have milk and other stuff out of it. You know, and here they do. They eat the cow instead of save it and make milk and things off of it.
Well, Tamara, unfortunately, we've got time. People, hold on your seat. We're getting ready to. Thank you so much, Tamara, for coming on. We're getting ready to transition into the second hour, so we've got a little bit longer break. Go get your drink. Go get your bathroom, whatever you need to do. We're going to bring a witness from Charlottesville on first segment. Yep, the commercials are a lot shorter than it used to be. Hang on, people. We'll be right back.